Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and Happy New Year to everyone. Thank you for joining the show. My name is Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for supporting past 850,000 downloads. Wow, I really can't believe that, and I'm just amazed that you guys are interested in what I'm talking about and the guests that I have. Thank you so much. I want to let you know you can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys. And you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And I'm on Instagram now. Yes, I'm posting all kinds of cool pictures of me and where I'm going, but also about the show. So please check me out on Instagram. That's Saturdays with Joy Keys. Well, this morning I have two wonderful guests who are battling the city of Philadelphia. James Dupree is on the line. He's a famous world-renowned artist. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning.
And also Melinda Herring, she's the activist manager at the Institute for Justice. She is helping James fight with the city of Philadelphia, who was trying to take his property, but using the Pennsylvania Eminent Domain Code to do it. Good morning, Melinda.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you both for joining. This is a really serious issue, and James is not the only one in Philadelphia who is battling with the city. James is not the only one battling this issue of eminent domain across the United States. So I'm going to start with James. When did the city come to you to say, we want your property?
They actually served papers on me December the 27th. 2011.
So you've been fighting this from 2011. This is happening for several years. When you got the papers, what did you do?
Well, actually, Joy, to answer your question correctly, I first found out about it'll be seven years ago, and I found out about it through way of a friend who saw some plans in City Hall in one of the council person's office, and I was notified. I got a lawyer, and then we actually did not go to trial. It didn't get through city council, and I thought it was all resolved. But I later found that they were moving forward with some plan. I never knew what the plan was, and put my building up for sale to create a market value for the building. And then two Christmases ago, they filed a paper on the 27th of December. And the reason for that was the current laws would not, the old laws would not have been able to apply to the declaration of taking.
Melinda, I want to bring you into this conversation. Can you explain to the audience what is eminent domain?
Sure. That's a great starting question. So the state can use eminent domain only for a public use, like roads and schools. The city of Philadelphia is trying to use eminent domain right now to take James's beautifully renovated art studio. I've been there, and it's absolutely gorgeous. They want to take it and turn it into a grocery store and a parking lot. And a grocery store has a private owner. Under the U.S. Constitution and the Pennsylvania State Constitution, that's unconstitutional. You can't use eminent domain to take private property only for a public use. That's the core of James's case. That's why it's really straightforward and really an outrageous abuse of eminent domain.
Now, you mentioned this phrase, public use. What does public use mean? Because, I mean, a grocery store seems like a good thing for public use. Can you explain, elaborate further on that, Melinda?
Sure. So public use is for things like roads and schools. A grocery store would have a private owner. The area where James's studio is located may need a grocery store, but at the end of the day, it's not a public use because it is owned by a private developer.
Now, James, how much time did you have when you found out 2 years ago, How much time did you have to respond? Was there some kind of procedure you were notified about? Was there a public meeting? What happened 2 years ago?
Well, that's also part of the problem. I never got any information to attend any meetings, and I actually got my letter of taking on the 15th of January, which I only had till the 27th of January to respond.
Say that again. You only had how much time to respond? That's ridiculous.
That's right. And the day I got the paper, the exact same day I called the lawyer. And if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't filed on by the 30th of January, I would not have been able to contest this.
Melinda, is this normal? How much time do people normally have to respond once they get the notification that the city is coming to take their property under eminent domain? Is there a law that says they have 30 days, 45 days, 60 days?
Joy, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm the Institute for Justice isn't representing James's case, so I'd have to ask James's lawyer that question. I think that this seems very like a very narrow period of time, but we should ask a lawyer that question.
Well, I was reading there's a case they were using eminent domain in Kensington area of Philadelphia, and in that particular case, they had 30 days to fight and file the paper. But some people didn't get their paper. Some people, you know, freaked out, were in the middle of things happening in their lives, you know, needed time to get a lawyer, needed time to you know, understand exactly how the city was using eminent domain and all the documentation. So in that particular case, I read that they only had 30 days. So it's just not sufficient amount of time. And the city admitted to not notifying those owners properly. So again, I just wanted to mention to the audience that this is not just happening to James, it's happening across Philadelphia, but across the country. Melinda, you mentioned something in California that was happening before we started the show. Could you talk about that case a little bit?
Sure. Just very briefly, we're watching a situation in Santa Ana, California. There are 8 small businesses that are being threatened through a project to open up the highway and widen it. And this case is a little bit different. The city is talking about putting a 30-foot grass barrier in, and it would require these 8 businesses, I think, that have been in the city of Santa Ana for more than 235 years to have to relocate. And there's something even more fundamentally wrong about this. In our experience, and we've worked on hundreds of eminent domain cases, businesses that are taken through eminent domain usually don't reopen. So with James's case, it's really essential now to put the pressure on the city council to return his property.
Now, according to the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, it forbids confiscation of property without just compensation. Now, James, I'm not sure if you can speak on this. Has the city offered you just compensation for your property?
They think they have, but once again, their fair market value is not fair. The first thing they do, or they did, is they came in and they depreciated the value of properties by condemnation. So once they condemn all the buildings in the blighted area, those market values are then depreciated. So by the time they take the building, your market value has been depreciated to the point that it's no way that it can be fair. By blighting the land depreciates the market value. So I contest, how can that be fair when you have a building that is so unique and there is no comps for? My building is almost 9,000 square feet. What they offered me was 30% of what we had the building appraised for by a realtor. So they could have made me an offer, but they decided to, in a drive-by, which is called a windshield appraisal, they didn't even come into the building and made me an offer. of 30% of the value of the building. Then they came through the property and said the contents were only worth $40,000. Now, I have 10 rooms that I've built in this property. There's 3 full living quarters. There's 5 bathrooms. If they just gave me a fair value per square foot, if they did $200 for an open-key property, $200 a square foot comes out to something decent where I could have had to really think about it. But once again, their fair market value for this building, which is totally unique to the area of Mantua, but more so, it's totally unique to the city of Philadelphia. Any artist would, it's a dream studio for any artist or any working, practicing artist around this country.
Well, you not only just live there and paint yourself, but you also offer classes and enrichment, artistic enrichment for people in the community. So I want to emphasize to the audience that, you know, it's not just for selfish reasons in terms of James trying to live there, but he's also helping the community that he lives in by being there. Melinda, I'm not sure if you're familiar with an issue in the past with John Hopkins in Baltimore and owning the properties surrounding John Hopkins and then using eminent domain to kick people out. Are you familiar with that situation?
Unfortunately, I can't comment on that. I'm sorry. I'm not
familiar.
That's okay.
Well, I wanted to bring that up because that's the situation that happened in Baltimore, and John Hopkins owned a lot of properties, and when they decided they needed to expand, they would end people's leases or kick people out under the eminent domain code to expand the university and the hospital. I'm not sure if that's something similar that happened in Philadelphia with the University of Pennsylvania, but a lot of people lost their properties surrounding the University of Pennsylvania and also in the Point Breeze area in Philadelphia. So it's something that's been going on. Now, what I don't understand, I just want to go back to this issue of public use. I just don't understand. Now, if the supermarket was owned by the community, Melinda, is that something that could be, you know, possibly okay,
Joy, let me jump in here for a second. Okay, there's a couple mm-hmm. problems that are existing right now. Number one, we keep talking about a supermarket and the parking lot, but there are a number of things that are protocols that they had to follow through with that they did not do. Number one,
okay,
there is no developer for this project. Number two, there is no food chain that has been identified for this project. And that's something that's really major. There is no project. Now, the other thing I want to jump to is this promise zone area that the president just talked about. Now, my mm-hmm. question would be, is how long did city council know about this project? Did it just happen to, they just find out like everybody else in the country on Thursday?
I don't think so.
There's a big red flag here. There's a big red flag here. And I would like to say, I don't know, but we need to find that out next. And if that's the question that needs to be answered, how are they going to answer this? How are they going to make not only me, right, but everybody mm-hmm. else in the community of those properties that they've already seized, that they've already taken the deeds to their land and established what they call fair market. So, you know, I get very angry about it when I think through the situation.
They did not follow protocol. Let me mention to people that you are on Twitter, @SaveDupree, and also people can sign a petition, which I've been tweeting and Facebooking and putting on LinkedIn, different places, that they can sign a petition to stop this action and really, you know, bring the city of Philadelphia so that you can get a day in court, so to speak. You can get your justice And the petition is at change.org. Again, change.org, you can look up the petition. But you are on Twitter at Save Dupree. Now, Melinda, what are you guys doing to help James, and how long have you been working with him?
Great. Thank you so much for that question, Joy. And thank you for drawing attention to the change.org petition. We've been working with James since late November, and we're trying to get his message out in as many media outlets as will listen. James was in the Philadelphia Inquirer on Monday telling his story. He's been on TV, and now he's been on the radio as well. So there's three things your listeners can do. They can sign that petition that's on your website, and we're so close to 2,500 signatures. I think we're 113 signatures away. So if you could get your listeners to get on and sign that today, that would be really fabulous. The second thing that your listeners can do is if they are artists in Philadelphia or if they are Philadelphia involved with any kind of civic organization or large organization in Philadelphia, they might want to consider signing on to a coalition letter. The Institute for Justice is sending a coalition letter opposing the condemnation of James Art Studio to the City Council and the media this week, and we are looking for partners who want to sign on to this letter. So if you are an artist or an organization in Philly and you'd consider signing on to the letter, you can contact me at activism@ij.org. And the third thing your listeners can do is we need people to get behind James more than just signing a petition. We need folks to come out and to hold signs and help us make some noise. So if you live in Philly and you're outraged by what the city's doing, please also send me a quick email. It's activism@ij.org, and let us know that you'd be willing to come out and protest. You'd like to meet James. You'd like to see his studio. We're going to be making noise in January, and we need as many people as possible in order to get the city to drop this.
Now, do you have a date in January for the protest?
We don't have a date yet. Right now we're just trying to get as many names and people as possible.
Okay, just repeat your email about where they can email if they're interested in joining a coalition or protesting.
Thank you, Joyce. It's activism, ACTIVISM, at ij.org.
Well, James, now, what are your plans? What's the next step for you? You're going to have the protest. People are signing a petition. What do you do now? Are you negotiating this fair market price? What's happening now?
Well, a lot of things are happening. Number one, I've kind of made a statement to my lawyer about what I want. whether I get that or not, we're trying to work that out. If I don't get exactly what I want, we'll go to trial. If we go to trial, right now my lawyer thinks very strongly that they cannot win this case in trial, which means I get my deed back, which then I can move forward and do what I want to do with my building. Once that happens, I'll be very happy. This has been 7 years of me going through this situation on a day-to-day basis of not knowing. I also tell people I had a stroke behind all this where I lost sight, sound, speech, and mobility on my right side because of the stress of this situation. I was told I can't prove that, which really just makes me angry. What happens to people in these situations where in the command when somebody comes in and takes your property is a forced sale. They're forcing you against your will. But it's one thing if they offered you three times the amount of your property and then gave you 10 years of what that property is going to be worth. Then you feel whole. But to come in and just seize your land, take your land away from you against your will, is unconstitutional. That is not the American way. And so to answer your question again, we're in litigation. We have until the 30th to file to go to court. If we go to court, I will get my deed back. If they settle, they will settle on the terms that they will not agree to. So it's very difficult, a very difficult situation. Right now I'm working on 200 pieces, my little fetish pieces, about them seizing my deed. So we're going to have a big show probably the first Friday in February where everybody can come out and meet me. I haven't decided if we're going to do it at the studio or at the gallery, but I'm going to make a way for everybody to meet me. I want to also organize all those people that had their homes taken in Philadelphia. 1,200 properties were appropriated through the eminent domain laws in the city of Philadelphia before the law changed.
Which is unusual. Which is unusual, I understand, because normally they were only seizing a couple properties a year, and then I guess because they knew that the laws were changing, they like did this like rush move to like grab all these properties. Melinda, are you familiar with this change and how the number increased right before the law changed?
Yeah, that's really interesting. So Pennsylvania's eminent domain laws in the past were not very good at all. But they did reform them. They have dramatically improved. But there was a loophole. There was a loophole for the city of Philadelphia, and that loophole changed at the end of last year. And they condemned a slew of properties 3 or 4 days before that loophole closed. And one of those properties was James's. It's no coincidence.
Yeah. I think what is really important here is also the emotional impact and financial impact on the individual. If somebody comes to you who's a government institution and says, we're going to take your property, there's fear involved in the individual. They know that the person can be fearful. Two, they know that the person may or may not have the money to get a lawyer to fight a long battle, a long drawn-out battle, you know? And then
absolutely.
The people may not have. Yeah, and educationally wise, may not have the ability to understand all the different loopholes and the legalese terms that are being thrown in their face. So people were not prepared for James. James is not that individual. One of James' pieces can go for $45,000. So for them to offer him $50,000 for his entire property is absolutely freaking ridiculous. What were you going to say?
No, Joy, one of my pieces can go for $220,000.
Well, look at that, $220,000. There you go.
At the Philadelphia airport. So a lot of people have seen my work in Philadelphia. The one piece that was there for a year in Terminal B, and then that same painting.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece. So, again, someone offered me $40,000 for the content of my building. It's ridiculous, and especially once you go there and see it. When those people came in and looked at my property, they were speechless. They were speechless. I had their appraiser said, what the hell is going on here? Their own appraiser said that to me. I can't prove it. It's all hearsay now, you know, but the point is you're right on the mark. Nobody in the community of 17 properties that they seized in this two-block radius fly back. First of all, you only had 30 days to get your letter out. They sent those letters out on the 27th of December. Now, if you didn't go, if you missed that letter like I did twice, you had to go to the post office. Then they couldn't find the letter. So like I originally said earlier, I got my letter to contest this. I had 15 days, 10 days to contest it.
Melinda, what were you going to say real quick? We're running out of time. Melinda, you were going to say something?
Yeah, Joy, thanks for bringing up this point because it's a really important one. The situation with eminent domain is even more outrageous because eminent domain often targets people who are least able to defend themselves. Minorities and the elderly are disproportionately affected by eminent domain. So it's exactly like you and James said, people don't normally know what to do. And all of these documents are written in language that's confusing and hard to follow.
It's crazy. Melinda, mention your email again. You said activism@ij.org, correct?
That, Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. And if you could encourage your listeners to go on and sign that change.org petition, that would be fabulous. I wanted to say one other thing. I've gotten to know James over the past couple of months, and he isn't painting very much right now. What you said about eminent domain striking fear in your heart is totally accurate, and this has really crippled his ability to do his work. It's had a huge emotional toll on him. So we were talking about the Fifth Amendment, and the Fifth Amendment is very clear. When the state can take private property, you have to have just compensation, which we don't have, and it has to be for a public use. And eminent domain isn't for private development. That's the point that I want to keep hammering again and again. The city of Philadelphia is in the wrong on this one.
Well, I really thank both of you for coming on the show today, Melinda Herring from the Institute for Justice, James Dupree, world-renowned artist in Philadelphia, battling with the city of Philadelphia over his property. Please go to the change.org petition, Save Dupree. You can also follow him on Twitter, at Save Dupree. If you're interested in connecting with the Institute to set up a coalition, to protest, or to meet James, email Melinda at activism@ij.org. Also, James mentioned the first Friday in February, you'll be doing hopefully an exhibition of his work, and also you'll be able to meet with him and speak with him further about this particular issue and see the good that he's doing in the community and providing for the community. Again, it's not just his concern over his living space and his property, but he's also concerned about if the city takes his property away, he will not be able to provide, you know, artistic opportunities to children and the community. So, again, thank you both for coming on the show today, Melinda and James.
Joy, thank you so much,
Joy.
You're welcome. I will talk to you guys soon, and I'll be tweeting about the petition and definitely putting things on Facebook and emailing to try to support you, James, in your situation.
Thank you once again. And I'm so happy Melinda was on the other side.
We're happy to be here. Thank you so much, Joy. We can't thank you enough.
No problem. You guys have a great Saturday, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Again, you can follow me on twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, I'm on Instagram. Check me out at Saturdays with Joy Keys. Eminent domain, again, is not for private owners to come in and build whatever they want to build, as Melinda mentioned. It has to be for public use, and the supermarket owned by a private company is not considered public use. And also, James is not getting just compensation. What is just compensation? Well, you can't go below market value. James, you know, is... like he said, one of his pieces goes for over $200,000, so they wanted to offer him $40,000. It's absolutely ridiculous. Again, he is not the only one this is happening to. It's happening across the country in different states. It's happening to different people within the city of Philadelphia, and they were not able to fight back. James had the ability to fight back, but there are many individuals, elderly, minorities, low income, who cannot fight back. So please try to support this particular issue so that they can set a ruling that may help other individuals in the future. Again, thank you so much for listening. I want to mention that January is a glaucoma awareness month. You could be going blind and not know it. Glaucoma is an eye disease, often has no symptoms in its early stages. Left undetected and untreated, it can lead to vision loss and blindness. If you're African American and over age 40, age 60 or older, or if you have a family history of the disease, it's important to get a comprehensive dilated eye exam to detect the disease early and get it under control. It could save your sight. Don't lose sight of glaucoma. A public service announcement of the National Eye Institute. Thank you so much for your support, and you guys have a great Saturday.